Hey girl, hey, welcome to Taste of Taylor, my weekly podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Strecker of the live daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show. So here's the deal, on my radio show, we're like married up in there, okay? Yeah, like till death do us part, or until you want a divorce, totally up to you. But this podcast is where we date. Yes, you date me, you like, you get to know me, you try me on, you feel me out, and this is where I get to woo celebs, tastemakers, and influencers into falling in love with me. Anyone who knows me knows I'm like a professional social climber. And yeah, I wear that title like a badge of honor. But for reals, my favorite part of being in the radio industry for 12 plus years is getting to meet interesting, inspiring, and exceptional people and getting them to talk about the pettiest things in the world. So if you love real talk with a touch of cattiness and a ton of laughers, then you're in the right place. I hope you enjoy this little snack. Hey girl, hey, welcome back to another episode of my weekly podcast, Taste of Taylor. I'm Taylor Strecker. Last week, I teased at the very end of the show that we're going to be going to part two with Ben and Ronnie of Watch What Crappens to talk about Vanderpump Rules, to talk about Summer House, and to also talk about Bravo ratings. Well, guess what? The file is corrupted. This is something that happens to all podcasters. You are not officially a podcaster or somebody in radio if you have not fucked up audio. So this is one of those moments. It sucks, but it happens. But not to fret, because I'll get back with my boys, Ben and Ronnie. I sometimes call them Bonnie because I get all flustered and stuff, but I think it's actually a cute name for them. I'll get together with the Watch What Crappens boys again at some point in the near future. But luckily, when I was out in LA, I also got a chance to hang out with Danny Pellegrino. So if you were really looking forward to, you know, some more Bravo chatter, do not fret, because Danny also very much has his finger on the pulse of all things Bravo. I believe we can categorize Danny Pellegrino as a tastemaker and an influencer and kind of like Bravo celebrity adjacent. Danny Pellegrino, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, that is the highest of compliments, Taylor, because you know I love a Bravo celebrity. I do.
I know that.
And
my,
I'm not my favorite kind. I'm not a Bravo celebrity, but I do love, it's the best kind of celebrity.
You are Bravo celebrity adjacent. As am I. This is a new category of
it's
human
a
being.
New category. It's a new
category. So speaking, well, so obviously we're going to talk about Bravo. I want to talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Please.
I need your feedback on what you think is going on. And even more so, like, predictions for the future. And by future, I mean LVP.
Right. What? I mean, okay, so we're getting right into it.
We'll get into it. Okay. I also need to talk about, we need to talk about our love of Jessica Simpson together.
Oh my God. I could talk about Jessica Simpson for, how much time do you have? So much.
That's what I was hoping you'd say. I want to talk, because you post, so every Thursday you post on your Instagram, right?
Right. I started a new, because I mean, I was posting just random stuff about her all the time. Because
always with
her
singing.
And then I was like, you know what? It's going to become a weekly thing now because I just love it. And it's so funny because I get messages and people are like, I can't figure out if you love her or hate her. And I'm like, it's both.
You're like, me neither.
It's me either. And it's like, people will say, I don't know if you think she's a great singer or a terrible singer. And it's like, yeah, that's true too. I don't know. It's no one. And I don't think any of us know. And that's why I think she's such a mysterious queen. And she's truly bamboozled all of us. And I love her for it.
Right. That's what I want to talk about. So we will get into that as well. But I do want to talk about just Bravo
also,
in general.
Just P.S. Like, my serotonin levels just went through the roof because I just got so excited we're talking about Bravo and Jessica Simpson. My favorite of topics.
Well, I am hungover like to the bottom of my eyeballs, where I feel like, am I still drunk?
that's the worst. That actually, I would say that's the best feeling, like, because the hangover really hasn't quite kicked in. Right?
Quite kicked in.
Like, you're still sort of drunk. That's a good place to be.
That's a good place to be.
Good place to live in.
This city is kicking my ass. Let me tell you that. This place is like, it's too fun. There's too much going on. How do you live like a real adult life in a city like LA? And I think New York's kind of the same, actually.
I see. I think the opposite. I think New York is more crazy. Like, in LA, I feel like everything's so spread out that I don't really do anything. Like, I'm socially awkward. So I just, like, sit, my boyfriend and I sit in our house and I just go on YouTube and watch Jessica Simpson clips. Like, that's what I'm not really like a. I used to be back in the day, like, when I was new in LA and newly gay in LA, I was going out to the gay bars and all of that kind of stuff. But I'm not like that anymore so much. So I'm mostly just watching TV at night.
Oh, I'm jealous. I wish I did that last night. Although I did have fun. Do you know the Watch What Crappens guys?
I love Ben and Ronnie.
I was out with Ben and Ronnie, and we went to the Soho House, and I've never laughed so hard in my entire life. They're just like,
they're so funny. Oh my God. So lovable and so perfect. I love them.
We were actually talking about like this world of podcasting that we're all in, and it really is. It's so like, it's so crazy because the entertainment industry is so cutthroat, but I really feel like, and maybe, speaking of being bamboozled, maybe we're all bamboozling ourselves, but it feels friendly.
No, you're right. It's friendly, and everyone is so supportive of each other.
Right?
Like, we're all, no, I don't feel like there's competition between anyone. I feel like we're all just kind of raising each other up.
Yeah.
And we all, there's plenty of space for all of us. Like, I as much as I possibly can, I'll say, listen to Taylor's show, listen to Watch What Crappens, listen to Annabelle, listen to Hannah Brown, listen to, you know, all of these wonderful, you know, we were talking about Jackie Schimmel before.
Yeah, love her. Bitch Bible.
So many wonderful, wonderful, amazing people. And I'm sure two judgy girls. Oh, I love like all of these wonderful people.
Yeah. And I feel like there's enough food to go around the table, you know, mm-hmm. and especially podcasting, because it's like we all do. I mean, even if you're doing like 3 times a week, every single day, it's still like what, 40 minutes, an hour. It's like there's plenty of content for people to consume. And so right. We're like all in this club together.
Right.
It's like we're in a sorority.
I love it. No, I love everyone. And I love everyone.
I always wanted to be in a sorority.
I know.
But and I was scared.
There really isn't like a, I always wanted to be in a sorority too. They wouldn't allow it, but.
Me neither. Not our kind.
No, they were not interested in a gay man, but I.
They weren't interested in a confused
tried.
Lesbian either.
You know, we are in our own sorority now, though, and it is great.
It's the podcast sorority. Yeah. It's a sorority of misfits.
Everyone is so kind and funny, and yeah, it's great.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about this Bravo celebrity adjacent thing, right? So I feel like, and I don't know like how much we can speak to this, but like everybody knows that I'm like, so I am up Summer House's ass and I am up Vanderpump's ass.
Wait,
it's
so
just,
who
it
do
is
you,
what it is.
Who do you, I know you're friends with Sassy because you're going to the Tom Tom book signing.
I am.
Right
after this.
This,
I'm going to the Tom Tom book signing, which will be airing, I guess, on the show. And she
oh,
promoted
it's
on her social.
On the show. Oh my
it
God!
It seems
so
like that.
Be on the show. Yeah, because they're filming now.
Yeah, they're filming.
So wait, who are you friends with from Summer House? I love Summer House this season.
I'm so happy to hear that
love
because
it.
I feel like Summer House has kind of been like, people really like vacillate on it, and I do think it's a fantastic show. I've been here for Summer House in season one. Well, the thing that's tricky with Summer House is I actually came into being friends with Summer House. Actually, I met Ben and Ronnie. So I became friends with Stephen McGee. He was season one Summer House. I actually was at Summer House season two with him. He like brought my girlfriend and myself on as a friend.
I didn't watch season two.
Oh, well, we had a cameo, so.
I need to go back. Now I'm going back.
Good luck.
I'll go back.
We're basically fighting with Amit because he was trying to make us like make out with each other, like a true dude, which is like so,
oh, so
rude.
Gross.
And
wasn't he like a flop cast? Because I didn't watch. I watched the first episode of season two.
Was terrible.
And he was like, I mean, a lot of the casts. I shouldn't talk badly about.
No,
them.
go. Talk.
I just thought early. I didn't like season one or two. Season one. I binged it all and I enjoyed it enough.
Yes.
And then season two, I tried and I was like, I'm just not here for it. But now season three, I'm like obsessed with it. I think.
How did you get back in though? That's my question.
You know, probably like three or four episodes aired into season three. And everyone was saying, it's really good. This season's really good. And people I trust like Ben and Ronnie were saying, you got to watch. It's good. And so I did. And then I literally became obsessed with that. And I was like, this is maybe my favorite show to put on Bravo. I love Force the Housewives. I love Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
But this season of Summer House, it's like I have the most fun putting it on. And I think it's such a weird mix of like drama, but also not too serious drama. I don't know what it is. They've found the right mix of people.
They did.
The right chemistry. I interviewed Hannah on my show and I loved her and I think she's so funny. And Paige, I'm like obsessed with Paige.
Me too. I just started like, I never really follow people on Instagram that are like celebrities to me, right? It's either like they're my friends or like, oh, I feel like I have to follow them or whatever. But, or like it's accounts like yours, which I just find fucking hilarious.
Oh,
but
you.
Yours, I'm obsessed with your Instagram. You know this. At Danny Pellegrino.
At Danny Pellegrino.
It's just so delicious. But
like, I know what you're saying. Paige is just like a gorgeous girl who's like a sort of a taste, I don't know, a beautiful tastemaker.
She is, but like I follow her and we're not friends and right. I feel like a creepo.
Yeah, I'm definitely a creepo with her. I've never met her. I don't know her, but I still like, I watch and I'm like, I'm obsessed with this girl. Like, she's
ooh, her
stunning.
Instagram is so good. Why is she in Paris right now? I don't know. She
knows?
Lives a fabulous
who's
life.
To know. She's just beautiful. She's like also on the show so magnetic. I mean, talk about like
she's
one of those like
phenomenal
it factors. I don't even know what's so appealing about her because she's not especially dramatic.
But you know what it is? What's so appealing about Paige is like she looks a certain way, but her personality is the total opposite of what you would expect, you know? And like, I love the way she handled Carl. He's been like the resident fuckboy for three seasons.
Sure.
And she like toyed with him like the way my cat toyed with that mouse she killed. And then I never let my cat sleep in my bed again because she rolled around in the carcass after she was done with it. But...
That's right. That
Ugh, Eloise.
Disgusting.
It was disgusting. Eloise, I was my love. Oh then my I watched God. Her murder a mouse in our backyard. And it was like watching Hannibal Lecter. She was atrocious. And
like,
I said, Eloise,
wait, so she
never
brought
again.
The mouse into the bed.
She was torturing the mouse. It was like run away and she would like let it get away and then she would like come and get it. And the poor thing, then she was like on it. The thing's probably having a heart attack. We were watching this from our porch and we're like, no, stop. up. The only thing that would have made it worse is if it was a bunny, you know, because bunnies are like, mice are kind of gross, whatever. But then when she killed it, she rolled around it.
I can't. Like, I have a fear of rodents, like a serious fear of rodents.
Me too. And so I was like, Eloise, you can no longer sleep with me.
No, and that's, draw the line. What Paige that's what's did. Over the line.
Paige was exactly like Eloise to Carl, but I was here for that killing.
Yeah, Carl needed to be taken down a few pegs, and I love that she was the one to do it. It's just perfect.
Me too.
Also, I'm obsessed with Kyle's look. Like, I think, he's terrible that he, whatever he did to Amanda, blah, blah, blah.
I forgive him. Isn't that weird?
I mean, it is. That's Bravo, though, for you, right? Like, it's like these people are oftentimes monsters, but we fall in love with them. And it's like we excuse behavior that we
would never excuse in our own lives.
Never.
But like, I'm so enabling of their relationship.
Yeah. I think he's the best looking person on Bravo. I think he's like stunning looking.
Oh my God. He's going to
I have a thing for blondes. And so
I agree. I think he's Trey handsome.
Very just like seriously handsome.
And Amanda is gorge beyond.
Great cast. Here we are just selling Summer House. Like,
I know. So wait, so I got introduced to them. So I met Steven. I don't even really, I guess maybe through Stassi. But he was.
I'll just say that. You don't have to say it. I'll say it. I think if any Bravo celebrity tells you like, oh, they just decided to move on and they didn't come back. Like every single person that's ever been on Bravo, there's no way they just decided they didn't want to come back or they made the choice.
Exactly.
Let me tell you something. Bravo, I think, from what I've heard, I don't know this to be a fact, but this is what I believe to be fact,
yes,
is that Bravo gives them the opportunity to release a statement to say, I'm not coming back.
Yes.
That's a courtesy. I believe that NBC Universal or whoever, I don't know this to be fact, I don't work for them, but that's what I believe happens, is they say, look, you're not coming back, and you could say whatever the fuck reason you want to say for why you're not coming back.
Right.
And so then people read it on their Instagram or whatever, and it's like, oh, Carol decided not to come back to Real Housewives of New York. It's like, no, she was not asked back.
No, Bethany asked her not to come. Bethany asked Andy to ask her not back.
And by the way, I'm Team Carol. I love Carol. I'm just saying, like, there was no way in hell.
I love you. I'm almost Team Carol.
I got so much shit for it.
Oh, me too. So God. I just think Bethany's such a monster.
I do too. Although I'm back around on Bethany this season. I love her.
Yeah. I love watching her.
And I never want her to go anywhere, but I agree with you.
Oh, right? Oh, I love that we agree on all things Bravo. Hey, guys. It's time to take a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors, Third Love. If you don't know about Third Love, you're welcome. And if you know about Third Love, you're like, oh, girl. Third Love is good. Third Love is really changing up the bra game. For starters, you get to skip the trip to the lingerie store. And then I know you're like, well, then how do I freaking pick out a bra without trying it on? Ah, Third Love got you covered. They find your fit with Third Love's online fit finder, okay? And basically what that is it's just a really quick quiz. It's like literally takes under a minute and it helps you find the perfect bra for you. I bet you're like, okay, so how so? Well, over 12 million women have actually taken the quiz to date. So what Third Love does is they use these data points generated by all those millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. So yeah, you just take the Fit Finder quiz, order online, try it on at home, no more awkward fitting room experiences. And if you're not happy, guess what? They have a 100% fit guarantee, which means every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. So Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes, which I know you're like, oh my God, that's great. And then maybe you're like, wait a second, I feel very overwhelmed and I'm going to freak out. Don't worry. Third Love helps you identify your breast size, and shape. And I bet you didn't know this, but actually, your breast shape matters when it comes to finding a good fit. Maybe that's why bras have been historically so uncomfortable and unsatisfying for you. So once we get the size and shape, we find a style that fits your body. And if you're still like, but how will I know? Well, guess what they have. They have fit stylists who are available every day to help via text, chat, or phone. And like I said, if it's not working out for you, no big deal. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. I'm telling you, it's hands down the most comfortable bra I own. The straps don't slip. They have tagless labels, so there's no itching. And it's super lightweight, and they have the super thin memory foam cups that mold to your actual shape. And so it's proprietary to Third Love, which is what makes Third Love so bombastic. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they are offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Just go to thirdlove.com/TOT now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/TOT for 15% off today. And now, back to the podcast.
Don't you want this on the shows? Like, I just don't you? I feel like the shows, the Bravo shows, like I always hear behind the scenes cast negotiations,
yes,
and photo shoot drama and like all that stuff. I need one of these shows, not every show, but I would love one of the shows to break the fourth wall and show us this kind of shit. Like, show me the contract negotiations. So put cameras on Steven when they're telling him you're not coming back.
I know.
You know, like, give me that whole thing. I would love it.
I would love it too. Yeah. You, Bravo, you hear that?
One day they will, years from now.
I think that they're like slowly working towards it.
They dip their toe in a little
even
bit.
Even with the reunions now, when they keep the cameras rolling, even when like they're not rolling, but oh, are they ever rolling? It's the fucking best. Right.
That's what MTV, I don't watch a ton on MTV, but Teen Mom, I know, my boyfriend watches it. And the OG, they have producers, are cast members now. So it's like they,
yeah,
literally they've completely broken the fourth wall in the best way. And it's only Teen Mom, I believe, that does it. But I would love for one of the Bravo shows to do what they're doing.
I predict
it.
Vanderpump will be the first to do it, or even maybe Summer House. But I feel like, yeah, I know people in production on both sides, and like I've heard them speak of this before. So yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
It'll come.
But anyway, so that's basically what happened. And so, you know, like, for example, when I got fired from Sirius, I was mad at the direct people who were involved in my firing. I'm not mad at Michelle Collins, who took my time slot. I can't be mad at her. She took a job. It's like, if I found out that she got me fired to take my job, then fuck that bitch. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the case. But I think that maybe Steven...
Also, I love that you're giving me Dorinda hands right now. Like, you're...
Dorinda hands.
You just gave me Dorinda hands.
If I could be anyone on that cast, it would be Dorinda, for sure. Giovanni! I've literally walked by Giovanni.
Giovanni!
The other day. I was so excited. I burst out laughing.
The point is, Summer House has never been better.
The point is, it's the best cast and season ever.
Truly. I liked Steven, and I wish they would have an openly gay cast member on the show, because that's
what I
agree. It's very important to me, but...
I'm here for them to bring Steven back. I think
he would be messier.
Genius. Yeah. It would be so messy. Can you imagine?
They should probably do that. They should probably do that. But I mean, at least get a gay in there. Come on.
It would be incredible.
On all of these shows, get me some gays.
But the point to all this is like, yes, like I feel like over the years, I've gotten invested like in friendships. Obviously, Vanderpump first, and then that. Like, Stassi was my entrance into all of it. And then, of course, I'm close to Dodie and Katie.
Wait, so I have a question. Do you find that people get mad at you that you're close to these people? Because do they reach out and say, like, how can you talk about these shows if you're friends with the cast?
And this is what I wanted to bring up to you. And that's the thing too, like Summer House, it's like I kind of knew Kyle Amanda like through like Steven and Stassi. I've always just known Carl because Carl's just always like duh around. And then Hannah worked with me before she was even on Summer House. So that, and like Jordan, I didn't really know Paige, but like it's small world. Small industry. But yeah, but I feel
especially
like
especially around the same age group too. Like you're in a town with people the same age.
But it is interesting because people are always, this is what I want to talk about with you, is this Bravo adjacent world that we are now a part of. So we're fans of Bravo, right? But now I feel like, and like even like Darren Karp, who's Andy Cohen's assistant, is also a co-host on my radio show. So it's like, I used to talk mad shit about Andy. And now I'm like, I love Andy. And I really do, because now through Darren's eyes, I see a whole different Andy.
You see a different perspective, right?
So, and also I realized I was just a total jealous little biznage that he got the job that I very much wanted to do.
Sure.
I mean, between the reunions and Watch What Happens
Live.
Oh,
I know. Who wouldn't want
that?
That's truly a dream.
But I feel like, yeah, like now it's
You've
definitely...
You've infiltrated the system now a little bit. And
how do I do my job?
How do you do your job? But yeah, I mean, it's hard. People say to me sometimes, because I've had Vanderpump people on the show and everything, and I don't... I also recap the shows and stuff.
Yes.
So, but I try to never say anything in my recaps that I wouldn't want to say to their faces. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
I don't ever try to... I celebrate these people, and I'm so excited that they're like putting themselves on camera. So even when they're messy, like I try to respect it. And I truly do love all the housewives. Like I'm obsessed that they are putting themselves on screen like this. I love it.
Right.
But it's hard because people will say, you know, how could you do that? Or I even had I had Katie on my show, and I've never.
Katie
Maloney.
Shorts. Yes.
Yes. I've never gotten so many mean messages about it.
Isn't it so crazy?
And I know that cast in particular is very divisive. I knew that going in because I've had James on my show. I've had other people on my show. And I know that I know that they're divisive, but I was so taken aback by just how many messages I got that were like attacks to me. And I was like,
how dare you give Katie a platform? Right? Shit like that. Like,
and I get that. I totally understand people are finding these people divisive or find her mad or are mad at her actions or whatever like that. But it was just very surprising to me. And also, like, it was just a very bizarre thing.
But it's like, so how do we do our jobs? But also because of our jobs, like when you sit down and you talk with somebody for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, there's going to be some sort of a development of a relationship unless you fucking hate each other. Right, and also we live in this world and like we get invited to like events because we're like, we're Bravo adjacent. And then it's like slowly but surely these people, they're not just TV people anymore. They're like, they're real people. They become your acquaintances. Then they become your friends, you know? And then we're like recapping the show, talking the shit. Like I was talking about this with the Morning Toast Girls. Do you know the Morning Toast Girls?
I don't know them personally.
They're fantastic. I know they are. And I was like, how do you guys separate? Because they like love Leanne Locken from.
Oh, I love her too.
But they said, but she's a fucking monster on the show. And I said, so what do you do? And they were like, we just have to separate. Like when we're doing our thing on our show, like we're talking the shit as viewers, but like in like our we like love you when we're with you.
Also, I think the best Bravo celebrities, they get it.
They get it.
I've met Ariana through the Watch Your Crappens guys.
Yes.
And she totally, and Stassi too. Like I did the Watch Your Crappens live, the crappy is like they do the award show.
Yes.
And they are in on the, they don't care if people talk about them because they get that that's part of the gig. And so they don't seemingly get offended by it. And
Those are the best ones.
Because it's like they have a sense of humor about themselves. And same with Leanne Locken. She's been on my show a couple times.
Oh, I'm like dying to have her.
I feel like she gets it and she doesn't care if you call her a monster or whatever. You know, she gets it.
She gets
That's her gig. She gets it. But she wants people talking about her.
But do you sometimes feel like because you're like, you know, friendly, close, whatever, with some of these Bravo celebrities that like, does it cloud your judgment at all? Have you developed a new bias? I've been accused of that with specifically Summer House and Vanderpump. Like Vanderpump, I've given up on. I don't even watch because I'm like, I am like so in it. Like, and I'm like, oh my God. Oh, Kristen was joking. And everyone's like, no, that was terrible. Oh,
it's what's weird is like Kristen's like my favorite on the show. And people think I truly never met Kristen. Like I had like one sort of brief interaction with her, but it wasn't like, we were both at a bar at the same time. And I was like, what are you ordering? Not even like that was it. That was it. And so, but I've gotten people have like sent me messages like must be best friends with Kristen. I'm like, I've literally never met her. So it's like, you can't win no matter what. It's like, you cannot win. I can sit and defend myself or something, but what am I going to do?
Okay. So like, for example, let's talk real quick about Vanderpump reunion. Okay.
Yes.
I watched Way being like, James Kennedy looks like a total piece of shit.
Oh, I didn't feel that way.
Okay. And this is where I realize now my judgment is clouded. Like everybody's like, he and Raquel won. And I'm like, What were you watching?
I do think that.
And they're like, what were you watching?
I do think that, but here's, I feel.
Raquel?
I also feel like I'm.
It's like watching a nervous chihuahua get its butthole cleaned.
She's got the shaky voice. James, I thought they looked better at the reunion. Like, I thought Brittany came across really bad at the reunion.
That's what
but
everyone
at
said.
The same time, I'm empathetic enough that I can put myself.
Family hillbillies.
He talked about my family, Tom. He talked about my family.
We are hillbillies. I'm proud to be a hillbilly.
I'm proud to be a hillbilly. Talk about my family, Tom. She says family with the B.
Family.
Talk about my family. I am on the brim of freaking out. I think she just didn't look so great. But I think like with the other side of things, like I could see how they would be pissed at James. Like if somebody called me fat on camera,
oh
like,
my God,
I would hate them. I would cry in the shower for months and months. Like there would be no way that I would ever be able to be nice to someone. So I do get that. I do think that James looked best at the reunion, but I do also understand the other side of things. Like if he said those things to me, like I'd be livid. Or if he said those things about my best friend, like I would be livid.
Livid, right? Yeah. Oh God. So but that's a perfect example of like I've lost touch. So I just am backing out of Vanderpump.
I do
now.
Think though they should have just sat back and let James dig his own grave, but they were attacking him too much. And the fact is they are so much older, especially Jax is so much older than James. It's like a weird dynamic.
I guess so.
But that's the show needs to split off. Like we need this. It's been talked about a lot in the press and stuff. It needs to split off somehow.
But here's a question. So we're not looking for Vanderpump to end. We're looking for the OG cast to get to adult and live their lives with kids and houses and all that
marriages,
shit.
Weddings, all that stuff.
And like now, like look at their careers, right? You know, I mean, Brittany
that's
and Jax have
beer
cheese. Stassi's a New York Times bestseller. Yeah. I mean, you know, Katie Schwartz and Tom have Tom. So it's like they need to graduate beyond Sir. So we can see now Raquel and James Kennedy young, run people. Sir. And then they get their own, like, Vanner. It's kind of like the Teen Moms, right? Yeah. They've got many of them.
They got the OG one now. We could have Vanderpump Rules OG and then the other one. Yeah, I think they need to split off because there's too much of a division right now. And it's just, it's not working. And it's been 7 seasons now. All the pretending that they work there much. It's like, let's see the other stuff going on. And I want to see them dealing with, like, Instagram sponsorships and, like, you know,
like you were saying before, kind of like it's kind of this, it's like walking towards like the Bravo contract negotiations. But like, yeah, like how much do they get paid, right? Mm-hmm. What's this world of being an influencer?
Yeah, and I still think they'll be messy. They're messy,
yes!
And they're friends, and they're all living in the same place in the Valley now. It's like, let's see that. I want to see those lifestyles. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But then I think trying to pretend it's working is
who
not
who doesn't
want to
see Jax and Brittany have a baby?
A baby.
I do.
I would watch it. I don't know if it would work.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely interested to try it because I think it's not working what it's, I don't think it's going to keep working how it is.
Damn. Well,
but
we'll
I
see.
Love it.
Because they're filming season 8 right
they're
now.
They're filming now. And I think that this past season was still better than I think people gave it credit for. Like, I still enjoyed it a lot.
You know what? I think it's the Game of Thrones, like, what do I want to call it? Curse, where it's like, it's so good that even in its, like, even in a good moment, if it's not fucking phenomenal, it's like, that's terrible. Right. But it's like, when you compare it to other reality shows or like Game of Thrones to any other like show or drama, even like at its like not best, it's still better than most.
Agree. Yeah. The season before was just truly flawless reality TV. It was so good with that Faith Jack's recording. I mean, all that stuff that was happening the season before was truly a high point for the show. And then, so nothing was going to live up to it. I do think it was their worst season that they've had, maybe since, I don't know, I think it's probably their worst season, but it was still better than most things on TV, I think.
I agree. Okay, now switching gears, Beverly Hills. Let's talk at this point, just like, because I don't know when this is going to air, so I don't want to like go super deep dive into the episodes, but generally, what are your thoughts on Lisa Vanderpump, this whole thing, and is she going to leave the friggin' franchise?
You know, I think the production of it has been a mess, and I love the franchise, but this season, last season, I think maybe the season before even, have been really just not great at all. And with the Vanderpump thing, like, I would like her to still be on the show. I'm not, like, anti her or anything like that, but I think she should have either quit or Bravo should have not fired her, but like let her go the way, like we just said with the Steven or whatever. But like, you know, I think it would have been smarter because they were doing this thing where they were afraid to fire her because they knew that probably the fan backlash would be too great.
Right.
They tried to keep her around, but then she stopped filming with the group. So we're in this weird in-between where we're going episodes and episodes where they're talking about where is she, but she's not there. We're not getting her perspective. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, we should have just... she should have just quit. She would have looked better, I think, if she just was like, okay, I'm quitting. Like, instead, we're in this weird in between where she decided not to film,
she
but she's
be
still
the
in the
reunion?
Main cast. We don't know if she's going to be in the reunion. It's all like, come on. I just think it seems like messy production wise.
Right.
But it seems like everyone was afraid.
So she's
she was afraid
gone
to quit.
Rogue.
She was afraid to quit, and I think they were afraid to fire her. And so we're in this weird in between. And then they're doing a great thing, I think, by bringing in like Kim and Brandy and like some of the messier people.
So good.
But that's what I think the show is missing. In the early seasons, what was so great is they had these messy people like Taylor Armstrong, Brandy, Kim, and they're the kind of villains that the reality TV needs. But they're also the kind of people that fans are going to say, oh, no, enough. I hate them. Get them off. I hate them. But the producers need to be like, well, yeah, the fans are going to hate them, but we need them to move the story forward.
Exactly.
So it's like, even though everyone's calling for Brandy to get off TV, we need someone, if not her, we need someone messy like that.
Right.
Because otherwise we're sitting where Teddy, who's like just kind of wallpaper there.
Here's the thing that blows my mind, though, is that the job of an entertainer is to evoke emotion. So if that is love, that's ideal. But also hate is not the opposite. Indifference is the opposite of love. Mm-hmm. Hate's actually a similar emotion, which means it's good.
Yeah.
So if the audience is hating, it means they're impassioned. If they're talking about it, it means they're devoted. I mean, Howard Stern, what was it called? The movie he did.
Private Parts. Yeah.
Thank you. And he...
His new book, by the way, is great. Have you read it?
I haven't. I have to.
It's just for an interviewer, like anyone who does... It's like amazing.
He's
the best interviewer.
The king interviewer. But he basically was... I mean, in the movie... the haters listened longer than even the people that loved him. So haters are valuable. Like, I remember
get people talking.
Yes, absolutely. So for Bravo to get rid of castmates because they're quote unquote hated, what, like, that goes against, that's like entertainment 101.
I know, but I understand the spot Bravo's in because they're thinking, look, everyone's saying we need to get rid of Brandy, we need to get rid of Kim, but it's a reality show. And it's like the otherwise the story's not moving forward if we just have a bunch of people who like each other. Or even I feel like Rinna's sort of in this spot a little bit now where people are like, I hate Rinna, but she's stirring the pot. Like, we need people to stir the pot.
And the thing is, we're the audience, so they know better. We don't know. Do you know what I mean? We go to the doctor for a reason, and we have producers making reality TV shows for a reason.
Good that, it's good. If we feel so strongly that we hate them, I think that's a good thing.
I think it's a good sign.
I think there's sometimes where maybe a cast member rides the line a little bit where we hate them, but they're still boring. Like, I'm trying to think of, I don't know. Like, Teddy's sort of hated right now, and I just think she's boring. She's not like a villain, though. Like,
right.
We need a villain.
She's just annoying.
She's just sort of there. And yep. And I think she's probably a wonderful person in real life and everything, but maybe not for reality TV. And also with Beverly Hills, too, by the way, I would want to point out, I'm so sick of the fucking costuming merch of trying to sell us on Agency and Skyline as the new one. They're always wearing the Skyline hat or the Agency hat. It's like, enough is enough. If I was production, I would say, look, you're not allowed to wear this on camera anymore. You can wear it this many times a season.
Yes.
I know that these people want to promote their businesses, but it's just taking away the facade of this being a reality show. Like,
I'm
we're just seeing
so
too many.
With you.
It's just enough is enough.
I'm with you.
And that's what I love. Kim was back a couple weeks ago. And I love Kim. I know she's gone through it, and maybe she's maybe too dark to be on TV. I'm not here to judge.
Kim's rough to watch.
She's rough to watch, and I get that. Hers is an extreme case where it's maybe healthier for her not be on. But what I love about Kim is that she's on the show, and she's not trying to sell us on anything. She's literally just showing up, and she's being messy on screen. When has she tried to sell us on a company or anything? It's like she's just showing her messy self.
Yep.
And even Brandy, like, Brandy wasn't there promote. She was just being stirring the pot. Whereas
being Brandy. Bring Brandy back. Please bring her back.
That's how I feel too. But I know people, every time I say that, I get like messages like, I hate Brandy.
Okay, guys, it's time to take a quick break to talk about one of our new sponsors, StoryWorth. I'm probably going to start crying during this because it's like the sweetest thing in the entire world. So let me explain this to you. We all have family members, whether it's maybe grandparent, parent, sibling, whomever, that is like the best storyteller. Actually, you know, I mean, my job kind of is like storytelling. And like in ancient societies, the storytellers of the whatever tribe were considered to be like the most important member of the community because they carry on, you know, the history of the people. So storytelling is actually one of the oldest forms of entertainment known to man, and it's very important, and we all have a storyteller in our lives. I don't know about you, but my dad is like king storyteller. He has so many great stories, and the cool thing is that actually StoryWorth was founded by a guy who wanted his dad to record his amazing stories. So the family enjoyed the process so much as they were doing it that they actually launched in April of 2019 so that other families around the world could share this gift as well. It's like the sweetest, most genius idea ever. So StoryWorth makes it easy and fun for your loved ones to share their stories with weekly emailed story prompts. So it's like questions that you never thought to ask that get people like really talking. And then at the end of the year, you get your stories bound in like this beautiful hardcover book. And people in the family get a copy of it. And then you have like all these different stories. Maybe it's from one person in particular. Maybe it's from different members of your family. But it's such a sweet and sentimental keepsake. So I'm going to break down how it works for you. So you purchase a subscription for someone that you love. And all the stories are private and only shared with the family members that you choose. So it's not going to let like shady uncle. You know what I'm saying? And then after a year of telling their stories, it's going to be bound in a beautiful book. Not only is it a great way to keep in touch with family because you're like, you know, weekly emails, but it's such a great way to preserve memories. I feel like sometimes we're so in the thick of things, like we forget, like take a second to step back and like capture the moment, if you will, you know, and having those moments in this book, it's beyond precious. So I bet you're like, tell me about this book. So it's a hardcover printed book and there's written stories. You can upload photos by email on the web or in the app, super easy. And you save and edit everything on storyworth.com. And this is important. Data is secure and everything is private by default. So you control who sees the stories because you know that if it's super personal, then maybe only your like nuclear family wants to be a part of it. And like I said, it's a great idea for Father's Day and I'm doing it for my dad right now for Father's Day. StoryWorth not only preserves these bonds and memories, but it actually like it deepens them, if that makes any sense at all. Like if somebody's kind of like shy and doesn't tell stories, it'll like prompt them to open up a little bit more. And then if you've got a storyteller in your life, you'll probably find out things that they actually totally forgot to even mention. Case in point, StoryWorth is it's really sweet and it's really precious and it makes a fantastic Father's Day gift. So if you're looking for something, that's what I'm doing for my dada. Anyway, for $20 off, visit storyworth.com/Taylor when you subscribe. Again, that's $20 off when you visit storyworth.com/TAYLOR when you subscribe. And now back to the podcast. Do you think that like Lisa and Bethany, like do you think that there are certain castmates that have the power to get rid of other castmates? Like 100% without a doubt.
Yes. Yeah, I do.
And who do you think each of those castmates are in any franchise? So let's start with Beverly Hills.
It was Lisa, and I still think Lisa obviously has a lot of power because any other cast member that were to just stop filming halfway, they wouldn't be in the opening credits. They would literally have gotten rid, like any other cast, if it was a second season cast member or something like that, like they would have been like, nope, you're done. We're just going to move on storyline. You know, all the ladies will move on.
Yep.
But she obviously has a lot of pull and power and a lot of fans that love her, rightfully so. So I think that she definitely still has power, and it'll be so interesting to see how the next season shapes.
And to see if she wields her power, if she shows up to the reunion. So that's kind of like that's like in the air, right? Who is that on Rahoni?
Bethany. And I've heard stories, I think we all have, about Carol. Bethany got Carol gone. We've all heard that. And then also with Jill Zarin, I think it's clear if you watch the season, she shows up a little here and there. And Jill was on Jeff Lewis's radio show recently where she alluded to this, where it was like she filmed a lot more for this season and they're not showing any of her. And from what I've heard, and I don't know this to be fact, but I think
it was Bethany.
And Jill alluded to that on Jeff Lewis's radio show. She didn't say it because Jill, of course, is trying to keep that door open, I think, my opinion. But I think she's trying to keep the door open. But she did. If you read between the lines, I think what she was saying was Bethany was basically wielding her power.
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Nene. I mean, we've all heard stories too. Nene literally assaulted a production member this past season.
Oh, yes.
What did he chip a tooth or something? I forget what they said. But in any other franchise, if that was a second season cast member, a third season cast member, or someone not as powerful, he'd be gone.
Okay, then what do we think about? Does Texas, Dallas even have like anybody yet because they're so new?
I don't think so. I think Leanne is definitely like the kind of queen bee of that franchise, I think, just because she's the messiest. But I don't know if any of them. That's what I is so refreshing about Dallas and Potomac, because they're so new. I feel like the cast power dynamics are more balanced, which is what we loved in early season Housewives. Whereas now on like Beverly Hills is so old and long in the tooth that we're dealing with these power dynamics where it's like Kyle and LVP have more strength and people are kissing ass to certain cast members. And New York is my favorite franchise, and I think what's great about them is all of them are all-stars.
Yep.
So I think that even though maybe Bethany is kind of like the queen bee.
Yes, but like Ramona, but Bethany can never get rid of Ramona.
Right. Bethany's,
ever.
She can't get rid of Ramona. I don't think she has might the want power. To. And like all of those women are strong. I hate how we talk about it like sports. Isn't it so funny?
It is our sports.
But Roni, all of those women, they're all fucking all-stars. Countess Luann, Dorinda, Sonia. Ugh. Even I love Tinsley. She's not quite the powerful that the rest of them are. Certainly, I don't mean that, but I think that cast is so balanced in terms of power.
Who's in charge of Jersey? I can't tell if I feel like Melissa is a very tight contender for that role, though.
Yeah. I mean, I've been shocked to see the way that Jersey has acted, I guess. I just think it's so bizarre. After Caroline left, I think it's been very bizarre that Bravo has been so... I love Teresa. I do think she's great TV and fantastic. I never want her to go.
No.
But I'm surprised that it has been so Teresa focused since Caroline left.
I know.
And that's what I've been, I always say, like, I would like Caroline back because that balanced the power on that show.
Too.
Because otherwise it's too much. It's a Teresa show, which is, she's wonderful and I love her on TV.
But there's more to it than.
But we're not getting a balance. This past season was the most balanced it's been.
And then OC.
I love New Jersey too. I feel like it's better than people give it credit for.
I agree.
What, Orange County?
Orange County.
Well, I think it's interesting we're seeing this about with Vicky, because the rumors are that she's demoted to a friend of.
Yes.
But then in it seems, as from reading the blogs and stuff, that she's bringing a lot of different stuff that we weren't maybe expecting. So I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see how next season shapes up. I think Orange County's been bad for a couple seasons now, and I don't understand. They need to get it together, and I'm shocked that they're bringing back Emily and Gina, who seem
boring.
Fine.
God,
shocking to me. Like,
who
I
do you
don't
think they should have brought back? And we can dip back into old castmates.
Oh God, like
Gretchen and Slade.
Gretchen and Slade—they're messy villains. That's what we need. And Alexis Bellino was like going through a crazy divorce, and her ex-husband was like suing a couple of the cast members. I feel like that would have been a great thing to see. It's like, I don't need to see Gina in her fucking casita. I don't know. I'm also optimistic though. Maybe Gina and Emily will bring it this season, because they know that
Emily's fucking husband, I swear to God, I've never hated it. Housewife husband more.
Yeah, he's awful.
He has Napoleon Man's complex to boot.
But it's shocking to me, like, that they are keeping the cast the way it is. I know they're bringing in someone new, but I don't know. And I still actually think that Vicky will be a full time. I do believe that.
I hope so.
Because I've heard Vicky. The things that I've heard is that they weren't, this is what I've heard, they were filming her as a friend.
Okay.
But obviously with the opportunity, if she brought in stuff to be a main cast member, and we see that she gets engaged. I believe the finale is her engagement party.
Yeah.
Because they're done filming. They wrap filming. And I think that's her party. So I believe that maybe she will be a full time, but we'll see.
Okay. And then before I let you go, because we are running out of time, real quick, I guess we have to do a part two down the road.
I know.
For Jessica Simpson.
What
is the fixation?
You know, she just represents all of that early aughts nostalgia to me. Like, and I think that was just such a simple time in pop culture and a beautiful time. And we all love Newlyweds. I feel like Newlyweds was this weird show in a weird time in reality TV where it was like every different person watched it. Like straight men loved it. They were watching it with their girlfriends and their wives, and gay men loved it. And it's just, it was such a weird show, but it was so huge. And then that show skyrocketed those two, and they were doing a fucking variety show. Like,
yeah, that's crazy. Like Sonny and Cher.
Like Sonny and fucking Cher.
I actually worked for the production company that worked on that. It was my first internship out here. 10th Planet Productions. Look it up. Check the receipts.
The dream.
They're there. Yep. The dream. I remember I was like, this is so dumb. Yeah. But awesome.
But so looking back now, it's like, how did we go through that moment? I mean, remember she had the edible dessert line? It's like everything that she did was just such a weird moment in time. And her music, if you go back, it's just, I loved it, but it's also her singing. If you watch her live, it was like terrible, but we all were bamboozled.
Is she good or is she bad, Danny? Because whenever you do post on her, and you always focus on the singing, which I love. And I have moments where I'm like, oh man, that's a beautiful note. And then the breathiness is just
right,
so
the baby voice.
Much.
Take my breath away. I think early on when she was a little more trained, I think she was good. Like, I think early on when she had the vocal training.
Like, I think I'm in love, boy. I think I'm in love with you.
Which greatest pop song of all time? I think I'm in love with you is one of the greatest pop songs of all time. I truly believe that. It's right up there with, like, to me, Teenage Dream, I Think I'm in Love. Those are, for more modern day pop songs, they're some of the best.
I agree.
But yeah, I think early on, I Want to Love You Forever, we all thought that was a big Christian ballad. It was so Celine Dion, like that. That's what I think we all thought we were getting. And then she shifted to do the Britney thing. Then she shifted into country to do the country thing.
Oh,
and by the way,
it was just those damn Daisy Dukes. She just loved wearing shorts so
Daisy
much.
Daisy Dukes. She tried to do a country. I used to work for Academy of Country Music, and I remember we were doing the ACM. I was like I didn't work for them officially, but I worked their award show week. And I remember we were doing concerts on Fremont Street in Las Vegas, and she was scheduled to perform when her country album came out, and then it flopped, and they like basically backed out of all promotion of that country album. But early on in that promotion, she was going around saying, I'll never do pop music again. This is where my heart lies. But what's so interesting is that she set the template for what Gaga later did, what Miley did with that Malibu. Miley did literally the exact template of, and I love Miley too, no shade, but when Miley came out with that Malibu song in that last album, Younger Now, she was coming out and she was doing press and saying, like, this is where my heart is. It's country, you know, it's more, it was more Elvis-y kind of country bluegrass or whatever it was. And then it flopped, and now Miley's back to this kind of like a little bit more hard edge stuff. But that's what Jessica did. Jessica did that before any of these girls did it. She's always setting the trends in reality TV. Look at, she was doing the celebrity clothing before the other girls were doing it.
Yeah, and now she doesn't have to do music.
So here she is, a trendsetter. I love her.
Also,
she's a mess.
You recently posted something with her where she was like bitching and crying to Nick because the record label wanted her to like sing less good.
That's my favorite Newlyweds moment. She was recording her song, The Sweetest Sin, and the record company told her she sang it too good. And we see her in the...
But wait, really, now looking back, do we actually think that that's what their perspective was? Or, like, is she correct? Or were they like, you're terrible? Like, reel it in. Stop with, like, the breathiness.
I think a little bit of both. And also, I think that was a weird time in music where they wanted that breath. They, like, with Britney, and I love Britney so much. She's one of my faves. But they want music that people could, anyone could sing along
could
to.
Sing with.
But see, I like the opposite. I want to not, I want it like a Celine ballad where, like, I can't hit the note and I'm trying. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Or Mariah. Ugh, I love Mariah's my number one.
My number one. I mean, that she hits octaves like of animals in like an African safari.
Yeah. And by the way, writes all of her own songs. All of the 18 number ones, out of her 18 number ones, it's hard to get a number one. 17 of them were written by her.
I did not realize that.
She wrote All I Want for Christmas Is You, which is not a number one.
But
she wrote it. Come on. She co-wrote it.
Iconic.
Iconic.
You guys, that I wish I could talk to you for a million years. I have to run off to Tom Tom.
I know. Good luck.
Thank you. I love you back.
Have one of those buzz buttons. Are they going to be open for
They
for
fucking drinks? Better have yeah. drinks. Are you kidding me? I'm ready to get my buzz back on.
I had something called a buzz button shot there where it was like, you take a shot and then you, or maybe you take this, like eat this flower bud. And then you take the shot. Ariana and Tom cocktail.
I was saying, was that a Sandoval creation?
Yeah, I think it was. And it truly amazing. It was like, you get it, ask for it. It's like a, I don't know what they call it, but it's a buzz, ask for a buzz button shot. You put this little buzz flower thing in your mouth, chew it, then take the shot, and it makes your mouth tingle like almost like Pop Rocks, but it makes your mouth tingle.
It makes
the shot taste more, I don't know. It tastes better. Buzz button shot.
Buzz button
Why
shot.
Why am I promoting
Tom Tom? Tom John. Sponsored by Lisa Vanderpump.
But listen to Everything Iconic, my show.
Thank you.
My podcast. It's Everything Iconic on iTunes and Spotify or wherever. And then social media at Danny Pellegrino.
Oh, it's such a delight. Both are such a delight. I love you. I'm such a fan of you. I adore you.
Oh, I love you.
You guys, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another phenomenal podcast. In the meantime, make sure to subscribe to the podcast, rate it and review it, and share it with your friends and family.
And leave a good review for you. I mean, like, leave a nice, take a few minutes to go on iTunes and hop on and give a 5-star review and some nice words.
Yes.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, the end.
Danny, thanks so much. And you guys, we'll be back next week. Bye, girl. Bye. Did you enjoy this taste of me? Want more? Then go to taylorstrecker.com and sign up for my daily talk radio show, The Taylor Strecker Show, and listen live or on demand.